Hey everyone, my name is Noble and thanks for checking out the message today. We are so glad that you're here with us and we would love to connect with you and your family. The easiest way is to text River Connect to 97000. There we can answer any questions you have and even pray for you. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we do here as a church. Finally, if you would love to support all that we are doing here for the gospel at the River Church, you can help out financially. You can head to the website and click the tab at the top of the page, or you can text an amount to 84321. Again, so grateful for you joining us today and truly hope you're blessed by the message.
Hey, morning, everybody. Great to see you this morning. If you got a Bible, let's grab those together and open them up to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 6. So great to be here with you on this nice and cool day on a black platform. So if I melt, please call 911. It's great to be here. Great to see you. If I don't know you, my name is Josh Combs. I'm the lead pastor of the River. And it is just an honor to see all of you and to open the scripture with you together. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 23, last verse of the chapter. Paul is writing here and he says, "For the wages of sin is death." Now, when he uses the word wages, you may be thinking of your own wages. We think of a payday. Everyone here likes payday. You work so many hours, and then that check comes, or you check the bank, and it's been deposited into your account. Our wages are what we get for our work. It's our payment. It's what we've earned. Right now, a minimum wage in the great state of Michigan is $12.48. Now, back in the 1900s, it was a little bit different than that. Maybe you're here and you started your work career in the 60s. You would have scored a whopping $1.30 an hour. Give yourself a round of applause on that one. For those of you who started in the 70s, you made a huge jump, $2.75 right there. For those in the 80s, $3.35. And then when I came of working age, I remember minimum wage being $4.25. And to a punk 15-year-old kid, when they said it was going to be $4.75, I thought, I am loaded. My wife and I, we've been married for almost 25 years. I have to confess to you, I married a rich woman. When she started working at Dunkin' Donuts, she was crushing my hourly wage. She was scoring $5.15 an hour. So loaded. Well, when the Bible uses the word wages here, it's talking about provision. Provision, as one author says, one's living expenses. Did I break it, Mike? You know I have that gift. We good? Is that any better?
You want me to ditch this one, Mike? You want me to keep it? Okay. All right, they handed me this mic. I'm going full televangelist, just so you guys know. Sweat and all. Okay. So when the Bible uses the word wages here, it's talking about what you are provided with to live with. Now, when Paul writes here in Romans 3, he is writing in a different context than us. We, of course, would understand wages, paychecks, and minimum wage. But you rewind the clock 2,000 years ago, And the church in Rome who would receive this letter, they lived in a different paradigm, a different context, a different way of living. They would have understood this as slaves and masters. So the wages would be what a master provided for the slaves. One author went so far as to say that in large cities like Rome and Corinth and Ephesus, as many as one-third of the population were legally slaves, and another one-third had been slaves earlier on in their life. At the beginning of the first century in the Roman Empire, 12 million were slaves. And one author, one of my favorite, Kent Hughes, says it is very likely that more than one half of the Roman church who received this letter either were or had been enslaved. So while we would understand wages as something an employer pays or the company pays its employees, the Christians in Rome who first received this letter would have understood wages as how well or how poorly an owner or a master provided for his slaves. Look at Romans 6:23 again. Paul says, "For the wages of sin is death." So Paul's creating this picture of sin as a slave owner and sinners as slaves to sin. In verse 17, he says, "You were once slaves of sin." In verse number 19, he says, "You were slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness." In verse 20, again, he says, "For when you were slaves of sin," sin meaning our rebellion against God. God says this is perfection, and we go the other way. God says, "Don't do this," and we say, "That's the way I want to go." Sin is breaking God's laws. It's missing the mark. So God sets the rules and we break them. And what does sin as a master pay? What are sin's provisions? What does sin provide for us? The Bible says in verse 23, the wages that sin, the provisions of sin, are death. In the same chapter, in Romans 6, verse 16, Paul says, sin which leads to death. In verse 21, for the end of those things is death. So what did we earn because of our sin? What does sin pay? What does sin deliver on payday? What does sin deposit into our account? The Bible says death. And that's been the story since the very beginning. God said to Adam and Eve, here are all these trees in the garden. You can have all of them, but here's this one tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it, because in the day you eat of it, God says you will surely die. So sin pays death every time. James says in James chapter 1 verse 14, he says, each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. When it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Ultimately, that would be separation from God, physical death, death of the soul. But we've all experienced that death in one way or another. Sometimes it is the death of love or the death of joy. Sin comes in and kills any contentment or peace or truth. Many folks sitting here, maybe watching online, have experienced the death that sin brings. It caused the end of your family, your marriage. You walked into the fairgrounds today feeling the sting, the weight of these words, the burden of sin, the cost of sin. One writer said, sin turns out to be a wretched paymaster, promising life, but giving out death. It's always false advertisement. Sin says, you will not surely die. And so sin, what it delivers and what it promises are very different. Sin promises fun and freedom, excitement. You finally get to do what you've always wanted to do. Sin promises no guilt, no shame, none of those old religious restrictions. Sin promises a nonstop party. But the truth is, sin always leaves us feeling more alone and isolated than we ever were before. It brings us under the tyranny of sin, the dictatorship of sin. Sin promises freedom, but it leaves us with a burden, a weight of shame. Sin promises to satisfy, but it leaves us with a greater emptiness. Hebrews chapter 11 speaks of sin and its fleeting pleasures. Something that we try to grasp onto and hold to. This is finally going to be what I've always been looking for, and it just slips through our hands. It's this fleeting pleasure. Old preachers used to say, sin will take you further than you want to go. It will cost you more than you want to pay, and it will always keep you longer than you would like to stay. Look again at Romans 6. Paul says, for the wages, the payment, the provision, what sin delivers, what our rebellion against God delivers, is always death. But, Paul says, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Notice one is a wage and one is a gift. You see, the truth is you and I cannot earn this free gift. We can't be good enough. We can't be religious enough. We can't be smart enough. The free gift in Romans chapter 5, verse 15 is called grace. Grace meaning the undeserved blessings of God. It's getting what we do not deserve. The free gift, Romans 5, verse 16, is justification. It means that we are able to stand before God with right status, a right standing before God. But notice who gives this gift. It is God. Ephesians chapter 2 says it is God who is rich in mercy and loves us with a great love, an everlasting love. 2 Corinthians 5 speaks of us becoming a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. And Paul says, all of this is from God. It's not a matter of our effort. It's not a matter of being churchy enough or religious enough or doing these good works that we think will balance out or outweigh our bad deeds. The Bible says it's a free gift and it comes from God. And what does God offer? Oh, it's quite a contrast from sin. You see, sin always leads to death. But what God offers in the free gift, Paul says in verse 23, is eternal life. Eternal life. Sin's wage is death, but God's gift is eternal life. Jesus says in John 10, I came that they may have life and they may have it abundantly. In Romans chapter 6, this looks like a heart transformation, a change not from the outside in, but from the inside out. Obedience to God from the heart, verse 17. In verse number 19, what is this free gift? What does this eternal life look like? It looks like a transformation that is brought about by the Holy Spirit. We call it sanctification. It changes us, not because we try harder or because we work harder, but because the free gift of God has changed us from the inside out. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. And Paul says, in Christ Jesus. So God extends to us a free gift. And that free gift is eternal life. Quite a contrast, quite different from death that sin delivers. And it is given to us through Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 20, Paul says, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Peter says what that price was. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, he says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways, inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or without spot. Here is the gospel. The gospel is that you and I always choose sin. But God, in his grace, sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to pay the penalty for our sin. And Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, and it wasn't just about the nails in his hands or his feet. It wasn't just about the crown of thorns pressed upon his head. It was about the punishment for our sin being placed upon Jesus. Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. And the Bible says that Jesus died and Jesus was buried, but Jesus did not stay dead. He conquered the grave. He rose from the dead. That is really good news that we call the gospel, that there is a way that God gave the free gift. And what was the free gift? It was his only begotten Son. And it was through Jesus that we can receive grace. It's through Jesus that we can receive transformation. It's through Jesus that we can receive sanctification so we become more like Christ. That's the free gift. It's not a wage. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't merit it before God. Look back to verse 23. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And these last two words are incredibly important because this is going to determine your eternal destiny. Paul says, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Every person that walked in these gates today has one of two masters, one of two lords. Either sin is your master, and you personally deeply know the pain, the wages of sin, or Christ Jesus is your Lord. In verse 13, Paul calls us to present ourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. In verse number 22, Paul says we are to become slaves of God, meaning he buys us from our sin. And the contrast is that sin always leads to a fruitless, shame-filled life that leads to death. That's what the master, as Martin Lloyd-Jones would say, the master of sin delivers. But the master, Jesus, offers us his righteousness, a life that is transformed, sanctified, and he offers us eternal life. There are lots of people, I'm convinced, sitting here watching online in churches all across the state and across America who will hear about the death of Jesus for sin and the resurrection of Jesus, and we will clap and we will applaud and we will smile and we will cheer because that is the gospel and it's worth being excited about. But please hear me. The only saving response to that good news is to become a slave of Christ. It's not just in our minds to say, oh, that's nice. I think that's true. It's not just in our hearts to say, oh, that makes me feel good. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's the saving response to the gospel, is to confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. Meaning, Jesus, sin is no longer my master. I repent. I turn from sin as my master, and I turn to you as Lord. I used to be a slave of sin, and the wages there were death and pain and shame, but I turn to you. And I die to self knowing that you will resurrect me. That's what the beginning of Romans chapter 6 says. We are raised with Christ to walk into the newness of life. So our master changed. Let me ask you this. Who is your master today? Because the wages, the provisions of sin is always death. But God extends to you in Christ the free gift, the hope of eternal life. Who is your master? One of my favorite authors, as I mentioned earlier, is a man by the name of Kent Hughes. Kent Hughes says, practically speaking, there is a third slavery or a third master. And he says it is a most unhappy state. It is the one who has chosen to become a slave of Christ, has obeyed from the heart, but then pulled away. This man, this woman, this person never knows the glory of obedience and becoming all that he could be. I think there's some folks here today, maybe as a young man or a young woman came to Christ and confessed Jesus as Lord and believed in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead. And you began to walk with Christ. But then there was kind of this glancing back. Like, oh, maybe that wasn't as bad as I remember. Maybe the cost wasn't as high. And so there's this, I love you, Jesus, but I'm going to go hang out here a little bit. I love you, Jesus. I certainly don't want to go to hell, but I want to hang out here a little bit, have a little fun. The Bible speaks of that just being an unstable life, a double-minded man being unstable in all his ways. So it's this miserable place. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're here and you know the gospel message, but you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord. And I want to be very blunt with you. You've never confessed Jesus as Lord, meaning you are not on your way to heaven. You have not received eternal life. You might own a Bible. You might have been part of the River Church since the very beginning. But the truth is, being part of the River Church is not a prerequisite to entrance into heaven. Jesus must be your master. And when Jesus is your master, you will live for his pleasure, his joy. What he commands you to do, you will do because you belong to him. So who is your master? Is it sin with its wages and provisions of death? Or is it Christ with his free gift of eternal life that God provided through his only son? At the very beginning of Romans 6, it speaks of this death to self. It says, do you not know that all who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Paul's not saying baptism saves. He's using baptism as the means of publicly declaring that Jesus is master of my life. That's why we put people under the water and we don't sprinkle people. People go under the water. We see it in the Bible because it's a visual of them being buried. The old person they used to be is buried. And now they have come out of the water and they are raised to walk in the newness of life. Just like something happened on the inside and they're showing it on the outside. That the old person they used to be died. The slave of sin that they used to be, they are no more. They have been raised with Christ and now they belong to Christ. See, the gospel is about embracing the cross while being confident of the resurrection. So maybe you're here and Jesus is your master. But you've been miserable because you've been holding on to the slavery of sin. I want to encourage you in just a moment to repent of that. Meaning that is honestly bringing that to God. Sometimes I think we're so dishonest with God in our prayers. Maybe that prayer looks like, God, I really like that. But I know it's going to destroy me. So God, change me from the inside out. God, this is what I've grown accustomed to, but I know it's going to mean destruction. It's leaving me miserable and empty. So God, transform me, change me, take this from me. But maybe you're here and you don't know Christ. The Bible says if you will confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. The band's going to lead us in a song. And if that's you, if you turned from sin and turned to Christ today, we want to encourage you to come down and be baptized today. Not being baptized to be saved, but to be baptized to publicly declare, I am a slave of Christ. Christ is my master. Maybe you're here and you're just kind of secretly following Jesus. And you're like, I really don't want to get baptized. I don't want to get dunked underwater in front of people. That's weird. No, we see it in the Bible. Baptism is a way of announcing, Jesus is my Lord. I have been changed. And maybe you're sitting here today, you've been delaying that. Listen, in the Bible, baptism always comes after salvation. It's a way of announcement. So maybe you need to do that today. I'm going to ask you just across this arena to bow your heads and close your eyes. Just for a moment between you and the Lord. I remember a time in my life where I was a Christian. I was born again. But man, was I glancing behind like there was something more fun there. And I remember reading Psalm 16. The end of Psalm 16, David writes and he says, in your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Sin promises those things, but it will never deliver them. It always leads to death. So come to Christ. Turn from your sin and turn to a Savior who loves you, who made a way for you to be forgiven of all your sins and to receive the gift of eternal life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray. And then after I pray, if you need to come and be baptized or you need to talk to one of our pastors or there's some sin in your life you need to be honest and repent of for the very first time in your life, these guys would love to chat with you. They're just to my left. You won't miss them. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the fair. Thank you for LC and his team, Lord, each year just being so kind to us. God, I pray for the man here who is clinging on to sin, that he would repent. I pray for the young man or the young woman here who is on the fence about you and needs to surrender to you today. Please, God, move in our midst as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing. If you need to make a decision for Christ, do not delay on that. Go right to my left. Go to those guys. Be baptized today. Let's sing together.